So women's Talmud study, and really Torah study more broadly, an important controversial topic in even today, and really has been one of intrigue over the past century, and Rav Lichtenstein has a particular position on it. So this is the start of our, it's going to be shorter than originally planned, series on controversial issues. This is, at least I think, a good place to start. So really, if you look at the Gemara, the position on women studying Torah, it's not so supportive of it. Source number one, the Gemara says, Minan v'lo mechayva, that how do we know women are not obligated in teaching their sons? D'chsev, v'limadetem, or ulamadetem. Kol shem mitzuva l'lmod mitzuva l'lamed, kol shem mitzuva l'lmod ein mitzuva l'lamed. There's only an obligation to teach for those who are obligated to learn, and neither of those apply to women. They're exempt. They're exempt from teaching, just as they're exempt from learning, and then they go into figuring out the details of that too. So there's an exemption, there's no chiyuv, there's no obligation for women to study or teach Torah. Not only that, source number two, the Mishnah in Sota, Omer ben Azeh, chayv adam ulamed v'chule, right, fine, that's, quoting the Mishnah, doesn't get the whole quote in terms of the Sota, whether you're supposed to teach her that the Mei Sota is Tola. Rav Eliezer Omer, kol ha-mulamed is pito Torah, Milamda Tiflis, or Ki'ilu Milamda Tiflis. Whoever teaches his daughter Torah is teaching her licentiousness, or is as if he's teaching her licentiousness. The Gemara in the Nest, Tiflis Sal, Salgadaita, do you really mean licentiousness? Ela Ema Ki'ilu Milamda Tiflis, as if he taught her licentiousness, or Tiflis. There's different translations of the term Tiflis. We'll see Rav Lichtenstein favors a different one, but this is the standard one. It's not really appropriate. Presumably the idea was, people, men have their place in society, women have their place in society, and it's inappropriate to have women go into the realm of education and learning. That's really the men's field, and if they do that, that'll lead to bad things, right? That'll lead to licentiousness or inappropriate behavior in one form or another. So much for the Gemaras. It seems like a pretty straightforward case, right? If you're saying, what does the Gemara think about women studying Torah, studying Talmud, anything, sounds like they definitely are not obligated, and they really should be discouraged. It's going to lead to bad things. By the Rishon, with the Rambam, it's a bit more complex. It says, Yishu shalom da Torah, yesh la schar, aval heim gaskar yesh. First of all, he says a woman who studies Torah does get reward for it. It is sort of accredited to them as a good thing, although not to the same level as a man from Ethnei Shalom and Staves. She's not obligated, so the credit is somewhat lower, and generally the rule, mitzvah ve'oseh, is gadol, is preferred, gets more reward than one who is in a mitzvah ve'oseh. And he also says, even though she gets rewarded, father shouldn't teach his daughter Torah because it will lead to bad things. Why? Most women are not qualified to be students. They'll misrepresent. They'll take Torah and make it into something flimsy, something not serious. Based on the poverty of their intellect. This was his assumption of how women's intellect was. I think we have a different view according to contemporary science and human behavior, etc. But that's the way the Rambam understands that Mishnah, that because women can't properly understand Torah, they're going to misrepresent it. So for him, it's not about licentiousness. He has a different approach that it's about not understanding it properly. And I guess in some way adulterating Torah. You're taking Torah and you're mistreating it because of deficient intellect. He continues, Amr Chachamim kol malamid speak to Torah ki'ilu limda tiflus, quoting the Gemara, v'amed dvar mamurim b'torah shebal peh. He says something new. This is only talking about the oral Torah. Halacha, the Gemara's, avol Torah shebichsav lo yulamid osa lechachila v'im limda eina kim lamda tiflus. For the Tanakh, the written Torah, you still shouldn't. It's still not the right thing. Lechachila, preferably a father shouldn't teach his daughter. But if you do, it's not teaching tiflus. She's not going to misrepresent things. It's not too terrible. It still shouldn't be done. So in a couple of ways here, the Rambam minimizes this, although he still basically accepts the Mishnah, that she does get reward for learning, although not as much, and still you shouldn't do it. And he does say that this is limited, the tiflus theme is limited to a Torah Shebal Peh, not Torah Shebichsav. And he explains that it means not licentiousness, but some form of adulterating Torah, misrepresenting Torah. Yeah.
What is licentiousness?
Sexual impropriety in some form. Yeah. In like a general sense.
Promiscuous or?
Yeah, similar to that. Mm-hmm. So that's the Rambam, and so if you, you know, if you enter, if you look at the Gemara, you look at the Rishonim, generally there's still this Isser, this, and certainly not a preference for women learning Torah. When you jump to the modern period, things start to shift a little bit. Rav Kook tries to explain this idea first. Be'isha, kol ha'koach ha'musari shela ganuz b'regesh ha'lev ha'tivhi. For a woman, all of her moral power, whatever exactly that means, is sort of hidden or stored in the natural feelings of the heart. V'imtie gamkein chachma umaskeles, chachama umaskeles, if she also becomes an educated, learned person, ein koach ha'koved etzla koach ha'da'as, kim koach ha'regesh. Still, even if that happens, her power, her primary power is not through the intellect, but through emotion and feeling. So that's an explanation for why, not only, you know, why it might be bad in a variety of ways for women to study Torah, but it's not only necessary. A woman's power is through her feelings and her emotions. So you focus on the intellect so much, it's really it's a distraction. You're not going to improve her abilities at the end of the day. That's one explanation in the modern sense, a little scientific in certain ways, right? Not like the Rambam says that just women have poverty of intellect. It's just a different emphasis. Right? Women are more focused on the emotional. That's Rav Kook. Again, there's a variety of other explanations too, and other Rishonim and Achronim, which we're not going to get into. But what we're going to look at now is, once you get to the contemporary period, there are various limitations on this, even before we get to Rav Lichtenstein. Many, many such limitations. We're going to take a look at some of them. So the Beis Halevi, who was the Rav Yosef Dov, Rav Yosef Ber Soloveitchik, the Rav's great-grandfather, he writes, building on some earlier sources, he writes that it's not that women have no obligation at all to study Torah. They actually do have a certain obligation. It's just distinct from that of men. So he writes that gam mitzvah shenogos behen ein by mitzvahs Talmud Torah klal kemo dehav banashim. Even for things that apply to women, halacha that applies to women, let's say keeping kosher, so when they learn those halachos, they don't really have a mitzvah of learning like men. D'banashim havi alimud mitzvah saseh. For men, it's a positive commandment, kemo nachas tefillin. Like putting on tefillin, it's a ritual act. Because shelo meid mekayim mitzvah saseh. The learning itself fulfills the mitzvah, the very process of learning. V'gam mitzvah she'enu agin bo. Right? For men, also a mitzvah that doesn't apply. Mikol makom mechiv lo mod mishum mitzvah saseh Talmud Torah. You're not learning to know the halacha for practical purposes. You're learning whatever it is. You're learning about Hilchos Beis HaBechira, about the Beis HaMikdash, not to understand the practical halacha right now, but because it's part of Torah, and there's a mitzvah to study Torah, just like there's a mitzvah to wear tefillin, even though there's no direct practical benefit from it. Doesn't, right? That's for men. Avo v'nashim ein bilimudim shum mitzvah klal mitzad atzmo. There's no inherent fulfillment of any mitzvah at all in the study. Rak smal kasav mikol makom mechiyavin lumo mitzvah sanogos behen. Still, women need to learn mitzvahs that are practical for them, because they should tain the hech l'kaimam. You have to know how to fulfill them. So if you have to learn how not to mix meat and milk, that's important for women to do, not because the technical study itself is a mitzvah, but the practical knowledge that you gain from that is necessary in order to keep a kosher kitchen, let's say. And finally, he gives a couple of proofs for that. So here, he formulates explicitly what, you know, you wouldn't have necessarily known just from reading the sources we saw before, that despite the fact that there's no obligation, no ritual obligation to study for the study's sake itself, there is an obligation for women to know halacha, which, if you think about it, is intuitive, although it wasn't necessarily stated explicitly, right? So there's some degree of a mitzvah Talmud Torah according to the Beis Halevi for women, not as a ritual mitzvah itself, but in order to have that knowledge. And fast forward a bit to the Chafetz Chaim, in the early 20th century, and this is in response to Sarah Schneer's process. We're not going to have a whole history class here, but Sarah Schneer founded the Beis Yaakov movement, basically saw there was woefully deficient education among women in Eastern Europe, and many of them were going to get a secular education that was sophisticated, and Torah seemed very minimal and unimpressive, and a lot of them were leaving, and she set up a whole system of schools for women to get at least the basic Jewish education, which is not done previously. Usually boys learned in cheder and then at some point got a job. Girls, you know, sort of stayed at home, learned home ec, but in the home, right? Lab section only. And that's how that was basically the education people got. But this was a trend to have them get a real education in schools taught by other observant women. And people like to think that she first asked the Chafetz Chaim for a haskama, for him to sign off on it, which is not true. Several years after she had done it, through some process, he and several other people agreed to it. So anyway, if you want to read more about the revisionism of the story, you can, but we're not going to get into it now. What we are going to look at is there are about two letters that the Chafetz Chaim penned for Beis Yaakov, for women's education, and this is going to be one of them. We'll read it just quickly in English. To the esteemed champions and lovers of Torah, when I heard that God-fearing people, Charedim, had volunteered to establish Beis Yaakov schools in the cities to teach Torah and piety, moral virtues, and Derech Eretz, and Torah to Jewish girls, I pronounced their enterprise praiseworthy, prayed to God it would bring their efforts to fruition. It's a great and necessary endeavor. The tide of heresy and all manners of miscreants are lurking and hunting Jewish souls. Right, so it's the basis for learning Torah is what? Why should otherwise they can go off the derech, they go in a bad direction. So therefore, it's important for them to learn. Anyone who's concerned about piety should consider it a mitzvah to enroll his daughter in such a school. Those who have doubts because of the prohibition against teaching their daughters Torah, which we just saw, should not concern themselves with that in these times. This is not the place to explain it in length, but he says our own times are not like those of the past. Times change. This halacha doesn't apply in the same way anymore. You have to shift your application of it. Where there's a strong tradition of mothers and fathers to go in the path of Torah and religion, to read Tzenarena, which was a Yiddish translation of the Torah, because they didn't know how to read Hebrew, only Yiddish, the spoken language, every Shabbos. That's what people used to do. They sort of live at home and not have a formal education and pick up a little bit on the side through Tzenarena and Yiddish. Due to our many transgressions, this is no longer the case. You can't expect that girls would get that education. Therefore, every effort should be made to establish as many schools of this type as possible. Rescue what can still be rescued. Right, so that's the Chafetz Chaim, who is, of course, the great luminary of his generation. And this is often cited as the basis of Beis Yaakov, even if it came a bit later, and seems to say that the halachos, the Gemara, the Mishnah and Gemara that we saw, of that it's really not such a good idea to teach girls formally, doesn't quite apply anymore, or it doesn't apply in the same way. That was only... The goal of not teaching was when they would pick up virtues and values from the household. If that's no longer the case, we need to find an alternate path. And that alternate path is a formal education. He wasn't the only one who went in that direction. The Rav, similarly, source number 7 here, a letter from the New York BJE, and really the fact that he established Maimonides co-ed high school, indicates some of the same things. They asked about the curriculum in a co-ed school. And the Rav says, assuming the school is co-ed, it would be a very regrettable oversight on our part if we were to arrange separate Hebrew courses for girls. Right? The school itself is co-ed, secular studies are co-ed, but for Torah classes we have separate. That we shouldn't do that, says the Rav. Not only is teaching of Torah Shabbat Path to girls permissible, but it's nowadays an absolute imperative. That's starting to sound a little bit like we just saw. Chafetz Chaim. This policy of discrimination between the sexes as the subject matter and method of instruction, which is still advocated in certain groups, has contributed greatly to the deterioration and downfall of traditional Judaism. Right? Fighting words. The idea of not teaching girls on the same level as boys leads to the downfall of traditional Judaism. Fine, he says he wants to write a halachic brief about it. He never ended up publishing that. But we know both based on what he did for Maimonides and what he told Rabbi Rosenfeld of the New York Board of Jewish Education, the Rav thought... Again, if it's a separate school, that's a different story. Obviously, he wasn't saying that all schools should be co-ed. But if you're going to have a co-ed school, you should make sure to educate for Torah equally and have integrated classes. And again, it's a similar reason to what we saw from the Chafetz Chaim, that if you don't educate girls well, that'll lead to the downfall. I think anecdotally, the Rav's quoted as saying things like, yeah, women can become lawyers, can get all these advanced degrees, but they can't learn Gemara. That's ridiculous. They're going to have the sense that Torah is unsophisticated, whereas the secular world is more sophisticated, and that won't end well. So he doesn't say it explicitly here, but obviously having integrated classes means that the girls are learning Torah Shebaal Peh and Gemara, particularly, as well. And that's the way it is at Maimonides, right? Co-ed classes, women learn Gemara, girls, high school girls learn Gemara. Even the Lubavitcher Rebbe, more traditional sort of community, was asked the question whether women can study Torah in certain ways. So he says, very different, justification. He says we're in Ikvasa de Mashiach, right? We're in the Messiah's footsteps. The final generation of exile, we need to prepare for the future. And the future redemption, just like the redemption from Egypt, is in the merit of Nashim Tzidkaniyos, of righteous women. So they need to be knowledgeable. They need to be knowledgeable in order to be able to be fully righteous and bring about the redemption. So certainly they need to know halachos that apply to them, and maybe even more than that. He doesn't give specific clarification here. He says in the olden days they used to attend all the sermons of the sages, even in the Tanaitic era, which implies an openness to Torah Shabbat Peh as well. So we have all of these approaches saying that in order to maintain the piety and the firmkeit of women in the world we live in, where they have access to all sorts of other things and more professional opportunities, we need to open up Talmud Torah to women as well. One counterpoint, and obviously throughout the years, people have opposed these various things. Beis Yaakov is pretty well accepted, but Beis Yaakovs don't teach Torah Shabbat Peh. There's no Mishnah in your standard Beis Yaakov world under Mishnah. So there's always been opposition to that in the yeshiva world, and even in the centrist Orthodox YU world, there is opposition. So source number 9 here, Roy Willigan, to our Torah, gave a couple years back, said that, and building on some of the sources we saw, the reason why there was a ban on women learning Torah was because the goal was for them to have to better adhere to the Mesorah by learning in the home and not by learning Gemara, by picking up things in the household. Once there was challenges to that in the weakened state of the Mesorah in the 20th century, then it became necessary for them to learn Torah in order to gain pure faith. Quotes from Solomon Sirotzkin and the Chavetz Chaim implicitly as well. But that changes, according to Roy Willig, in more recent times with more changes. So as he writes, however, in the words of a pioneer of the religious feminist wave, what is happening today is a direct continuation of the beginning of Talmud studies for religious women in the 80s. Meaning that he was referring to women rabbis and the sort, those sorts of things. And that's a natural outgrowth, claims someone who's supportive of both of those phenomena. That's an outgrowth of women learning Gemara. And that this candid admission must, for the genuinely Orthodox, call into question the wisdom of these studies. Meaning he's saying, if women learning Gemara leads to women becoming rabbis, and as opposed to this person he's citing, Roy Willig disagrees with women becoming rabbis, therefore we should question whether we should continue supporting women studying Gemara. Although there are ample reliable sources that encourage individual women with proper Yiras Shamayim and whose motives are consistent with our Mesorah to further their Torah study, on an individual basis, that is, the inclusion of Talmud in curricula for all women in modern Orthodox schools needs to be reevaluated because of what it leads to. While the Gedolim of the 20th century saw Torah study to be a way to keep women close to our Mesorah, an egalitarian attitude has colored some women's study of Talmud, led them to embrace and advocate egalitarian ideas and practices which are unacceptable to those very Gedolim. So the argument Roy Willig is making is on the terms of the Matirim themselves, right? On the terms of the people who said, including the Rav, that women should learn Gemara because if they don't, they're going to move in all sorts of unsavory religious directions. But if learning Gemara itself takes them in directions that aren't proper to Roy Willig, maybe they shouldn't be learning Gemara. That's the argument. So that's one way one example of a response to women's Talmud study. And even though Roy Willig gave the Talmud class in Stern the first year that it was given, it was 1977, and Roy Willig gave shir that year at Stern and Gemara, and a couple years after that, under the Rav's direction, the Rav asked him to. He thought with time that maybe it was not moving in the best direction, and that maybe it should be reevaluated. So that's a counterpoint, and now we're going to look at Rav Lichtenstein's view and see how he responds to similar challenges, how he responds to the issue overall. Yeah?
Can you also use that counter-argument though for men?
What do you mean?
Like the whole Rabbi Willig's his counter-argument?
Well, I guess if men learning Gemara leads to men being rabbis, so if someone doesn't like men being rabbis, that would follow. But I think Roy Willig is supportive of men being rabbis. In fact, I think he's a male rabbi himself. Well, I don't think anyone's saying that men learning Gemara leads to egalitarianism, right? idea that the argument is that women learning Gemara and coming at it with an ideological, feminist, egalitarian perspective, that starts when they learn Gemara, and that leads to them getting smicha, the latter of which is objectionable, which leads one to question the former. That's the argument. So Rav Lichtenstein writes about women studying Talmud in a couple of different places, in a more minor way. First, there's an article based on a translation of a Hebrew piece he wrote in the 80s, Torah Study for Women. And, I think maybe it's better not to spend too much time on that, because a lot of this will be repeated in the more lengthy piece. Also, in his article on the future of centrist orthodoxy, it takes a bit of a retrospective. Maybe we'll jump ahead to source number 11, which was originally published in 1996 and republished several months ago, entitled Women, Talmud Study, and Avodat Hashem. Originally it was published on the Mayanot website, as you'll understand in a minute, but it's now published and accessible in the broader world on the Lairhouse, if anyone wants to read the entire piece. It's remarks based on remarks that he gave at the opening of Mayanot in 1996, Teaneck High School for Girls, that teaches Gemara L'chadchila. Not the most common thing. Generally, if you think about how institutions developed, the Rav said that co-ed high school should have women learning Gemara. And generally, you had co-ed high schools where boys and girls learned Gemara. You had boys' high schools where the boys learned Gemara. And girls' high schools where girls did not learn Gemara. It was uncommon to have a girls-only high school that had Gemara. Right? Just sort of think about how demographics work. There's some logic to that. And in the 90s, a group of people in Teaneck decided to start a girls' high school, girls-only, which is more right-wing as demographics go, and to have Gemara and do that in a lichatchila sort of way. And they asked Rav Lichtenstein to give remarks at the dedication of the school. So he used that as an opportunity to talk more broadly about his views on Talmud Torah and Gemara, specifically Gemara learning for women. So this is the piece we'll focus on. Again, there are some parallels to the other material, some differences too. I don't know if we'll have time to focus on that. So he starts off by saying his own family is tied into women's education, but why is he here? He's here because of a concern for the present and a hope for the future. Right? So he's really, there's a lot at stake here. And his concern is with Torah and Yirat Shemayim and Harbatzat Torah and Yirat Shemayim, that the focus on promoting and disseminating Torah and the Lilmod Vilasot, both learning it and having a life committed to Torah. And really, the whole analysis is framed by Rav Lichtenstein's view of how education should work in general. We've seen this a couple of times already. We talked about how his view of how to read, how to interpret Jewish texts, in some ways, is informed by his view of how to interpret texts in general. Right, so we're moving from the universal to the particular. Here, similarly, Jewish education, how to understand it, has to be based on the question of general education. So here's his ani mamin, his belief about how to educate, which is that the cardinal principle is that one's concerned with molding the person first and only secondarily with preparing or training for the fulfillment of a certain role. Right? The goal, number one, is to edify and build up the student. The secondary goal is pre-professional training. So if you think about it, when people talk about why you get a college education, most people, let's say the Torah Parnassa people, will say, well, you want to learn Torah, you need to get a job, so it's necessary to get a college degree to get a job of a certain type. Whereas Rav Lichtenstein, that really wasn't a concern at all. And the goal, why do you go to college, is to edify yourself, to build yourself up as a person. So a similar idea here on the high school level, really about all education. That's the ani mamin. And he writes, I think with regard to education generally, and particularly emphasizing the field of women's education, is that first and foremost one needs to mold the person as an individual in all respects with regard to character, personality, intellectual ability, and above all, of course, in religious terms, as an Oved Hashem. So how does one mold oneself? So really there's two parts. One is building up the person as a person in a variety of ways. And the other one is building up the self in relation to the Ribono Shel Olam, building up the self in a religious context and how they relate to God. So that's big picture, and if you see where this is going, right, so the presumption is going to be in order to properly build up a person, including a woman or a high school girl, is that it's necessary to learn Torah in a serious way. That's the direction we're going to go in. He brings some proof text. The Pasuk says, Va'ata Yisrael, ma Hashem elokecha shalom eimach, kim liyiras Hashem, etc. What is God asking for you, Israel? Just to fear God. Fearing God, of course, is not a simple thing. It's a major thing. It's an important thing. And the reason why we have education in the first place is to train people and educate them and to fulfill this mitzvah of training people in Yiras Shamayim. And this is addressed to the whole Jewish people, the Ata Yisrael. Right? It's not just men should learn, should aim for Yiras Shamayim. All people, men and women, should do so. So this is, and he's going to build on this, is that it's necessary for women to learn Torah and learn Torah intensively in order to build up their Yiras Shamayim, their fear of heaven, their Avodas Hashem, their service of God more generally as well. He mentions that there's an obligation for women to study halachos that apply to them. Say halachos nida, halachos kashrus, halachos shabbos, they affect her daily life, and we saw that already in the Beis HaLevi. But, as he puts it, if the goal is not just the knowledge of specific practical halachos per se, but in molding a woman and becoming an Ovedet Hashem, a kli in serving God, then what she needs to study more broadly. And that applies to areas of Torah that are far remote from the level of practical implementation. Right? If the goal of learning Torah is not just to know what to do in a certain halakhic scenario that's common, but to really build a relationship with God through the Torah that God revealed to us, so then you might be able, such a girl might need to be able to study things about the world of Karbanos, anything in Torah. All of Torah is our mode of interaction with God, right? If you recall, when we studied Talmud Torah in general, the attitude was, Talmud Torah is centrally important because... Talmud Torah is important as a form of Avodas Hashem, and as a form of understanding God and connecting to God, right? That's why one learns overall, and that should apply here as well, no differently, including areas that are not practical. He mentions there's a greater challenge nowadays. There's greater opportunity, but also a greater challenge as people know more and there's more openness to the broader world. So it may be more difficult to keep people observant, but it's also important to recognize that there are new opportunities. And if that means a broader and a more intense and a stronger education, and that ability, even though there may be some risk involved, that's something that the community needs to undertake. Right? And similarly, he says, Avas Hashem, the mitzvah of loving God. That applies to men and to women. Avas Hashem is certainly fulfilled by learning Torah. So even if women, and this is structurally the argument, even if women don't have an obligation to study Torah as a mitzvah of studying Torah, they still have a mitzvah, they still fulfill other mitzvahs when studying Torah, and very important mitzvahs. Yiras Hashem, fearing God, Avas Hashem, loving God, in general, building oneself and getting an education and learning to relate to God, those are all fulfilled by studying Torah. So even if technically you don't check off the box of fulfilling that mitzvah, it's obviously a very important thing to do. And it's part of a goal of bonding with Hashem. Now, if you'll recall, there was the source that said that women shouldn't study Torah, said that what? The Mishnah? Right, it's tiflis, right. It'll lead to either licentiousness or won't be understood properly. And you would expect, presumably, you would have to relate to that source, right? It's an important source. You can't just say, okay, now it's important and that's irrelevant. You'd have to at least make some argument in that direction. And interestingly, the argument that Rav Lichtenstein makes here is actually to flip it on its head. Usually people say, you know, there's this prohibition of tiflis. Women will misrepresent Torah and take it in the wrong direction. And that's why, if you're going to teach them Torah, try to stay away from Torah Shebaal Peh. Right? If you're going to teach Torah Shebaal Peh, maybe, you know, minimize it. Give them handouts instead of giving them a Gemara. Right? There are some high schools where in Halacha Shir, they'll look at Gemaras, but only on a handout. There won't be a Sefer that they look at, Chas V'Shalom. Right? That's the attitude they have. Because they're saying we're trying to minimize the interaction that women have with Torah Shebaal Peh, because of that Mishnah, they really shouldn't be learning at all. To the extent they need it, let's minimize it. Rav Lichtenstein takes it in the exact opposite direction. He says, if we want, number one, if we want Talmud Torah to help, high school girls, or really any women, come close to God, or men for that matter, it has to be done seriously. If it's done as a joke, it'll be counterproductive. And that means you need to take, out of respect for both Torah and for the women or girls themselves, you need to take the learning seriously. So he quotes the Rambam that we saw, Hemotzios divrei Torah ledivrei Havai, lefianias datan. The danger of Tiflis, as the Rambam understands it, is that women will misrepresent Torah because they don't properly understand it. And the problem is, Torah needs to be taught in a serious way and in a mode of integrity. And what ends up happening, he actually quotes, there's some schools in Yerushalayim and definitely in America as well, that they don't teach women, they don't teach the high school girls Gemara, they teach them Torah Shemal Peh, right, Toshbap, or whatever it's called. Why? Because, you know, as we were saying, you don't want to spend, you know, they're scared, not scared, they are concerned with the Mishnah that says they shouldn't learn it at all. So if they're going to learn it, do it, you know, indirectly, not really learn Gemara, not in too serious of a way. And Rav Lichtenstein says, if Torah is to be taught at all, and to be taught it must, certainly in our context, then it needs to be taught seriously to assure that indeed Torah is understood and absorbed with the seriousness and with the earnestness, with the exhilaration, with the excitement, with the passion that is coming to it. And he doesn't say this explicitly, but what's implicit is if you're going to teach girls Gemara and you teach it to them not seriously, you have a Toshbach class instead of a Gemara class, what is that? What follows from that? What's the result? You end up violating the Mishnah, as understood by the Rambam, right? Then you're actually teaching them Tiflis if you do it not seriously. Given that nowadays, given the state of education and society, women can understand learning on a high level. If you're going to teach it to them in a not serious way, that's counterproductive. That's Tiflis. That's going to lead not to them respecting Torah more, but to them thinking it's not a serious endeavor. And that undermines the entire process here. So that a very powerful argument to flip the script, as it were, to turn it on its head, turn that source on its head, that Tiflis is not a reason for women not to learn Gemara or to learn it minimally, but that once they're going to learn it, they better learn it seriously. If they learn it not seriously, then you're violating that Mishnah and that Rambam. And he concludes, we need to develop within that individual, within the various girls in the school, and let's say Mayanot or any other woman learning Torah, within that individual an infusion of knowledge, sensitivity, and above all that spirituality which bonds to the world of spirit, to the world of the Ribono Shel Olam. And then he ends with a bracha for the school. This is a very powerful position here for several reasons. Right? It reorients in a few different ways. It focuses on Talmud Torah, not as a technical obligation of Talmud Torah, but as part of the broader goal of Avodas Hashem, of serving God, which is not, he's not doing that to make things come out, you know, a certain way in this sugya. In this case, that's Rav Lichtenstein's position in Talmud Torah in general. We saw that towards the beginning of the semester, that Talmud Torah, the primary goal of Talmud Torah is not the technical mitzvah, but rather the broader ramifications of it. The fact that one is coming close to God, the fact that one is better educated. So that's one step here in the argument. Another step is to prove that women have the same chiyuv to be an Oved Hashem as men, which comes out of the fact that they're included in the mitzvah of Yiras Hashem, Avas Hashem. You could find many other such mitzvahs that they're included in. Even if they're not included in the technical mitzvah of Talmud Torah, the Talmud Torah's effects on their closeness to God still are in effect. And then finally, the third point that I think is most mechudash is to say that the prohibition against Tiflis doesn't mean that you can't teach them, at least in our world. It means that if you're going to teach them, you better teach them seriously and not do a half-baked education, where that'll actually do the exact opposite. That won't fulfill the goals at all of bringing women closer to God and to Torah. It'll pull them away from it. It'll be precisely counterproductive, and that's why those things should be usher, should be prohibited. So, even though there was not much of a practical revolution as a result of this, many of the things were already in place. Although Mayanot was a bit of a novel idea of a high school, at least in America, a high school for girls that taught Gemara, not too common. And, I guess more significantly, that Yeshivat Haaretzion opened a sister school, Migdal Oz, Beit Midrash Lenashim, a Beis Medrash, a learning place for women, where that was opened about 20 years ago now, where they learn not exactly the same as they do in the yeshiva, and to the consternation of some, but not others. But they do have very serious Gemara learning there, not which also exists elsewhere, but the idea of setting up a parallel to a yeshiva in that mode also is reflective of Rav Lichtenstein's views on the matter. So I think there's major novel ideas in the conceptual basis, and that did play itself out to some degree in on the ground, as it were, in various institutions that were set up as well.